This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody...
Yes, sir.
We knew that there was some incidental collection because Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was caught up talking with Sergei Kislyak.
Right.
Does this go beyond that, and does this qualify as the sort of wiretapping that the president was tweeting?
Well, it definitely goes beyond what happened to General Flynn. Now, of course, we don't actually know yet officially what happened to General Flynn. We just know that his name leaked out, but we don't know how it was picked up yet. That's one of the things that we asked for in our March 15th letter, was for the NSA, CIA, and FBI to give us all the unmasking that was done. And I'll tell you, NSA is being cooperative, but you know, so far the FBI has not told us whether or not they're going to respond to our March 15th letter, which is now a couple weeks old.
Well, you know, Megan Barth brought up a good point regarding the FBI and James Comey. You know, the question is, did James Comey, lie to Congress when he said that, there wasn't any evidence, in terms of the surveillance of Donald Trump? Of course, you know, they're going off his original, and this is what drives me nuts, and I think it's driving you nuts as well, off of Donald Trump's original tweet and talking that and saying that President Obama wiretapped him. Well, if it had been good if he'd have said, look, in fact, I have a bug here to demonstrate, you know, he didn't show anything, didn't show any evidence that he'd presented it to Congress and were having them, and they were, he was relying on them to check it out. He wasn't ready to show his cards at that point, other than the big headline that just has everybody twisted in knots over it. And I say everybody, talking about those on the left, the pundits and liberals are just beside themselves that, how dare the president suggest this? I mean, I've been waiting for the argument that it's akin to President Trump, challenging President Obama's birth certificate. Well, I still maintain, I'm sorry, that it's still very challengeable based on the evidence. This is evidence that Sheriff Joe Arpaio, we're talking Sheriff Joe Arpaio, we're not talking somebody with a tinfoil hat here, Sheriff Joe Arpaio and the Cold Case Posse for 6 years who have pursued this, that have clearly pointed out, the birth certificate is fraudulent. You know, that's whether or not he's born in America is one. That's another issue. What they can prove right now is they have documentation that the president has presented in saying this is my birth certificate. And of course, that was the end of the story. The media went with it. And then when there was proof that this document that he put on a government website could be manipulated, that it was a fraudulent document posing itself as something as legitimate, America shrugged. The mainstream media shrugged. And Donald Trump was the bad guy for even questioning it. Oh, yeah, but let's not forget that Hillary Clinton was the first one to bring that up. Because the president's biography, which he lived off of, I mean, his book and his narrative that he presented for many years, was that he wasn't born in the United States. But we're the bad guys for believing him. And going, well, what happened? What changed in the, 10 or so years, plus years, that when you said you were born somewhere else other than Hawaii, but now suddenly you're born in Hawaii. And then you sign an executive order that hides your transcripts for your entry into colleges, universities here in the United States of America. Well, as Harry Reid himself said, and even Dianne Feinstein, the wrecking crew of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, my favorite, says, look, if you can't, show us the truth, and you've got all this conversation and deception going on, I think you have something to hide, in so many words, right? So You know, again, the conversation continues. The questions are out there, and I think they're valid questions to be asked. And this may lead right into the Oval Office of the previous administration.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You know, sometimes you kind of feel like you're in the hide the pee game, you know, where the things are shifting around and you're trying to follow the, you know, the walnut and, you know, and the pee underneath the walnut shell. It has been wacky, no doubt about it, when we talk about this surveillance and the conversations going on, what the FBI director has said to us and even the NSA director, Admiral Kelly. They would lead us to believe one thing, and then you find out something else, and you go, wait, is somebody lying here? Are we misperceiving, or are we just so caught up in the legalese of everything that if the words are not said specifically as they should be, like, for example, when Donald Trump said that he was wiretapped, it was, oh, he's wiretapped. There was no wiretapping that took place. Obviously, there was some violation because, oh yeah, we lost a general in the process, in General Mike Flynn. So he got surveilled. Was it there out of Trump Tower or not? I don't know. Some have suggested as much, and previous reports from the newspapers have said as much. Well, you know, the question is what the Russian hacking tells us about Putin and the U.S. intelligence community. And here to break that down for us is Philip Lohaus. Philip is with the American Enterprise Institute. He's a research fellow at the Maryland Ware Center for Security Studies. His research areas include U.S. and foreign intelligence capabilities, military modernization, Middle Eastern and South Asian insurgencies, global disposition of U.S. forces. Philip, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Bill.
Well, Philip, you know, only one pause here. I'm going to detract for just a moment and take a sidestep on military modernization. That's got to really stick out like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction for you as you look at the military preparedness of America today in the 21st century, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's very much the case. You know, and I was, as much as I think the $54 billion that President Trump has proposed is a step in the right direction, I do worry that that'll mostly go to readiness and that we're not going to be able to have the funds left over to really add in the modernization capabilities that we need to add in. So maybe a conversation for a different time, but...
Yes, absolutely. Well, look forward to having you back on that because that, you know, we got caught off guard, no doubt, after what happened with the Clinton administration. People forget about this so conveniently. And this is the important thing of history is we've got to make sure that history is documented correctly so we understand what happened. But between those two administrations, the military was blighted. Now comes 9/11. We got to go to war. And what do we go to war with? I mean, you know, with pea shooters and a little bit of ammunition. We're sending our kids overseas and they're writing letters back home, which I think had to shock the parents. So we're getting the letters saying, hey, go to Home Depot for me and go get some metal and send it over here because we need to reinforce the Humvees. Say what?
Right. You know? It's really shameful. And, you know, that was, I would argue that in 9/11, the U.S. was in a better position globally than it is now. We didn't have the threats that we're facing now.
Yes.
We didn't have the responsibilities that we have now. So it's an even worse situation in a lot of ways.
Well, Philip, like you say, to be continued. Look forward to having you back to talk on that subject. Right now, the question is what the Russian hacking tells us about Putin and the U.S. intelligence community. What say you?
Well, what it says about Putin, it says that he's very cunning and very smart. I think it's, you know, I don't think there's any doubt here that there have been some kinds of connections, whether they're legitimate or not, with the Russians. And, you know, even just being here in Washington, I've seen a really noticeable increase in Russian diplomatic and you know, military types of activities here in Washington. What it says about the campaign and what it says about the president, I mean, we're going to have to wait to see. I think with the, with what it says about the intelligence community is that, you know, they, given what's been going on this week, and as you said in your intro, it's been kind of hard to parse through everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I do think it's been interesting that, you know, they basically did say an investigation is going on, that, Flynn, was somebody who had been caught up in some of this, and then there was some incidental, as Nunes reported when he talked to the White House, some incidental collection of Trump and his associate, or maybe not Trump specifically, but Trump's campaign associates. And, you know, what I wonder is why did that happen at all? And that's something we're going to have to wait to see. I mean, there's a legitimate reason, which would be that there are FISA warrants out for these people. That, of course, would be classified. We wouldn't know about that at this point. Mm-hmm. But there's another possibility, too, and that possibility is that these people were surveilling the campaign in a way that they shouldn't have been doing so. But I think we're going to have to wait to see from the committee.
Well, certainly what the president did days before he exited stage left in broadening out the exposure of these top secret documents, raises some eyebrows, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. And, one of the things that's really been kind of confusing this week has been the behavior of the Intelligence Committee itself. You know, I don't know. Nunes went and apologized to the Democrats, which, you know, I think is a very strange move. I think even briefing the president was possibly a strange move. I think it just further complicates the situation. And now Democrats are calling for a independent investigation. And I don't know if, you know, I think we just kind of need to get on with it. But at this point, I think people are making moves on both sides that kind of undermine the credibility of the committee, which I worry about from an oversight standpoint.
Well, Philip, on one hand, if they don't have an independent investigation in this, we're going to continue to chew on this matter because the committee itself, I think certainly there's been a loss of confidence, might even be from the chairman on down, because for him to not go to the committee with this information, what does that tell you? The fact that he went to the media first, then he goes to the president, and he knew that he broke tradition and I guess standard operating procedure as far as a committee chair to go around the committee like this. And all he could do is apologize. But I think it's a fait accompli at this point that, this thing is so complex. And when you have you have even the FBI director, I think, as you say, parsing his words in such a way. I mean, he was very careful. And then some of the other questions he was answering were just seemed to be so goofy compared to what, you know, we wanted to know or needed to know. But, you know, again, he wanted to protect himself on one hand. And then on the other hand, he could address something that I thought, well, wait a minute. If it's inappropriate to address that, why isn't it inappropriate to address this other topic?
I agree. I mean, I think that the, a lot of times when the Intelligence Committee does open hearings, they don't happen all that often, and that's for a reason, because a lot of the stuff they're covering simply can't be talked about in public. So I wasn't surprised at all at that hearing to see a lot of political theater, especially on the side of the Democrats, kind of trying to frame the questions in a way that would get them on the record asking a question that they full well knew could not be answered in that forum. But I think I was encouraged by Nunes's announcement earlier today in his press conference that they're going to be having a closed session to further investigate this. And that's not good from a public standpoint in the sense that we're not going to know what was discussed, but hopefully it will help the investigation move forward, because right now it just seems like, you know, it's kind of like a lot of kabuki. People say fragmentary things and people not really understanding it, and the Intelligence Committee chairman kind of also not necessarily helping the situation out with what he's doing. And I'm looking forward to them being able to get the answers, the questions answered that they need to have answered.
Exactly. And Putin's got to love all this, because all of a sudden now he's a player, and he's this incredibly sized, supersized boogeyman now, right?
Yeah, it makes him seem more powerful than I would argue he actually is, but that's the intent there.
Yes, AEI, American Enterprise Institute's Philip Lohaus on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Philip.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Very independent and just for you, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. About 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. President Trump, in a classic CEO manner, is calling the question. You know, the one thing about D.C. is we can get caught up in the process, as you've seen, and a lot of discussion, and you can just argue this whole issue of health care to death. But in his CEO perspective, he's seeing that it's time to call the question on this. Enough discussion. Let's work this out. This is why deadlines, this is all part of the art of negotiation, is that you have to call the question. Max Zimmerman is with us. He's the Director of Strategic Policy for Americans for Prosperity, and we appreciate him joining us now. Mac, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Like you, I'm keeping an eye on this healthcare topic with what's going on, all this exercising that's happening. But, you know, are you getting the same read as I am? Donald Trump is saying, okay, enough discussion. We've heard enough. We're going in circles here talking about the same thing. Let's make the adjustments. Let's give the people what they need.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand where the president is coming from on this, and I understand that he's probably, watching this horror show that can be Congress from time to time and being a little bit concerned about this being something that could sink the rest of his agenda. At the same time, we think that members of Congress should try to focus on getting this right instead of doing it fast. And, and to be honest with you, I mean, we've been very disappointed, at the way this has gone thus far. And frankly, at the way that the Republican leadership has been characterizing some of the opponents. I'm sure you remember, you hear these guys on TV today and they say, well, we're giving so much and this is a collaborative process and we've involved everybody in this thing. And, in reality, a lot of us have been sticking on the same major points, which is that we don't want to see a new entitlement created with the refundable tax credits. We've got to get rid of these coverage mandates that, force people to buy expensive insurance plans that bureaucrats think they ought to want instead of what people actually want.
Exactly.
It wasn't too long ago. I mean, remember, these guys are sort of rewriting history a little bit. I mean, I remember a few short weeks ago when, the healthcare bill was being kept in a room in the Capitol and people couldn't make copies of it. And,
right.
Rand Paul couldn't even get in there. So, I mean, for these guys to sort of suggest on the supportive side of this bill that, they've been open and people have been at the table and they've been accepting ideas it's really a little bit inaccurate. And frankly, some of the concessions that they made in recent days have really been very cosmetic in nature. And it's a little bit, I tell people it's a little bit putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, you can put as much lipstick on it as you want. It's still a pig. What we need is a better piece of legislation.
Right. Well, Mac, what I've been looking for is the overarching vision of what they're trying to accomplish here. I hear from time to time, which, makes sense and gives me some encouragement, that they want to return it back to the free market and offer choice to the American people. Okay, well, how is this lining up, this piece of legislation right now? Understanding, and I can understand, being a parliamentarian, I am sensitive to the rules and what they need to do. And this is why they rolled this out in a triple phase type of attack. But yet, what I kept looking for is, okay, what is the overarching deal? What is the dream? What is the vision, the mission? Where are we going, with all this? And like you say, what I've been concerned about and I'm disappointed greatly in the Democrats. I mean, they're the ones that created this mess. Where are they at the table? They need to, but this isn't going to happen, unfortunately, because of the political environment in D.C. right now. They don't want to come in and offer any kind of assistance for something that they've screwed up so badly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's an old adage out here in Washington in politics that you never interfere with your opponent's own self-destruction. And I think that's probably what's motivating a lot of the silence on the Democratic side of the aisle. I mean, they're not going to. They are definitely not going to insert themselves into the middle of a Republican food fight.
Right.
I mean, look, we are also sensitive to the fact that there are limits to what can be done under the rules. And, we don't view health reform generally through the broken lens of Obamacare. I mean, there's a lot of things that that can be done outside of the reconciliation process, which I'm sure, as your listeners know, is a budgetary process that requires you only to get 51 votes in the Senate, so you can avoid that filibuster. But, you know, there's cross-state purchase, there's association health plans, there's other things that we would like to see done. But, you know, in the short term, what's really disappointing is, I mean, you're a longtime observer of this, you know, 2015 wasn't that long ago. And in 2015, under reconciliation, a straight repeal passed through both houses of Congress and got, you know, put on President Obama's desk.
And he vetoed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, now we've got the, you know, the conservatives, have a friendlier president in the White House. And we have, you know, free market oriented majorities in both houses of Congress, although sometimes I find myself questioning whether or not that's actually true. But why not pass that 2015 bill, the straight repeal bill, you know, add in what the Senate parliamentarian says you can add in terms of eliminating those coverage mandates that I talked about earlier. And, you know, look, the Senate's going to do what the Senate's going to do. But remember, this passed the Senate before. So there's going to be some members over there who voted for this in 2015, you know, thinking it was fine because nothing was at stake, who are now going to be shaken in their boots. But that's something that they're going to have to explain to their people back home if they decide to flip-flop on that. And,
exactly.
You know, we hope that, you know, if they can't reach an agreement today that cleans this bill up and makes it something that folks in the conservative movement can support, you know, maybe they'll pull this thing from the floor. Maybe they can move the 2015 bill and we can keep this process moving forward. But, you know, all we're asking for is for them to keep the promises that they've been making for the last four election cycles. And it's really disappointing that that's not the direction this
needs. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear on that, Mac. Mac, the other thing, too, to consider is, and we haven't even talked about, Secretary Price's input into this, too, because he has a lot of, flexibility as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a three-pronged approach to dealing with some of this stuff. There is the legislative approach, which we're looking at right now, and that includes sort of the reconciliation process we're looking at now and maybe independent bills or even policy riders on spending bills. Remember, you know, those were things that President Obama would have threatened vetoes on before. I don't think that's going to be the case with President Trump. You've also got sort of the regulatory approach that you mentioned with Secretary Price, where, you know, he's going to have some flexibility to propose new rules, maybe rescind existing rules, and sort of handle some of this stuff on the regulatory side, which, as we all know, has grown immensely under President Obama. I mean, so much has been done on the regulatory side rather than the legislative side by unaccountable bureaucrats. This is going to be a chance for Secretary Price to pull some of that back in. And then, of course, on the executive order side, I mean, President Obama almost ran out of paper in the White House. He issued so many of those,
exactly.
You know. President Trump's going to have a chance to unwind some of those things going forward. So, you know, we remain optimistic. You know, obviously this the last couple of weeks have been pretty discouraging, but you know, we're hopeful that you know, folks in Congress are going to be able to keep their eye on the ball, and that maybe common sense will prevail at some point, and that as you mentioned, we can address some of these other problems in the healthcare space on the regulatory side with some of the new fresh faces that we've got in the administration.
Well, you know, right now it seems to be a bit stuck, though the president is trying to do everything they can. But I'm like you, Mac. I'm concerned that, you know, just to pass it, to say they've done it, like any other piece, not that you expect it to be 100%, but right now it doesn't even seem like it's 50-50 right
yeah.
now, is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. You know, I've talked to folks about this who are, you know, again, we're a nonpartisan group. You get these people who are kind of on Team Republican, where it's more party oriented than policy oriented.
Right.
You know, why can't you just do this if it's 80% of what you want?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, I mean, this bill knocks out the individual mandate and it knocks out the employer mandate, and those are great things. But you know, some of the other items, the coverage mandates, the subsidies, the new federal entitlement. I mean. As you noted, you know, in some ways, some of this appears to be, we just want to do something on this. And it reminds me of, you know, it's March Madness. Reminds me a lot of the old UCLA coach, John Wooden. He used to say it's important not to confuse activity with accomplishment. And I have a
exactly.
feeling that some of that's happening in Washington right now.
No, you're exactly right. I'm right with you. And, you know, for all the time and, as you say, four voting cycles, They've been chewing on this, and to be at this point, it's a bit disappointing. Although I understand this is the way legislation works. It is a slow process. Director of Strategic Policy, Mac Zimmerman with Americans for Prosperity. Mac, thank you for your insight. Appreciate it.
Thank you as always.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Had the courage to say it.
We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We got it, we got it, we got it. Let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We got it, we got it, we got it. Let the light shine.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, great to have you along with us. And we've got Dr. Richard Horowitz with us right now. We're going to talk about a disease that is quite the impersonator. There's so much confusion about it that there's just a lot that we need to bring you up to date on. And Dr. Horowitz has really kind of become the expert on Lyme disease. It is rather pernicious, and he's also the author of the book, Why Can't I Get Better? Solving the Mystery of Lyme and Chronic Disease. Dr. Horowitz, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about Lyme disease. There's so much misunderstood about it. And for you, you know, you've been able to, I guess, find yourself in a position where you've become the expert on Lyme disease.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's actually the true expert, but let's just say after doing this for 30 years and seeing 12,000 people, let's just say I've discovered quite a bit in with that I'm able to help people. You know, I moved to the Hudson Valley, New York, which is one of the most Lyme endemic areas in the United States 30 years ago. So my patients weren't getting well, and I just set out on a kind of a medical detective journey to figure out how I could get them better. And that's, you know, pretty much what I've been doing for the last 30 years.
What is Lyme disease?
So it's a bacterial infection that you get from the bite of an infected tick. And the problem is that we're kind of in an explosion of ticks right now in the United States and worldwide. Lyme is the number one vector-borne spreading illness in the United States. We've got a minimum of at least 400,000 people per year in the U.S. that get it, probably closer to 1 to 2 million because the tests are unreliable. And it's mimicking a whole host of diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis, early dementia, looks like Alzheimer's disease, psychiatric. It's known as the great imitator,
right.
And the problem is we don't have great reliable blood tests. You've got to know how to clinically diagnose it, and there's a whole host of new information coming out on how to treat it.
Well, what was significant about the Hudson Valley? You say you went there, and next thing you know, you find yourself in one of the targeted areas or the most prolific areas for Lyme disease.
Yeah, it's like Lyme Central in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize when I got out of my medical residency coming here, but I started seeing people with the classic bullseye rash of Lyme, and although maybe 75 or 80% got better, 20 to 25% didn't. So I went on this journey of the last 30 years to figure out how I could get people better. And in my new book, How Can I Get Better?, I listed out in the last few years all the new research that's come out, and there's actually some very exciting research on how to help people with resistant symptoms that have failed every other treatment.
Right. Well, so we understand more about what Lyme disease is. You say it's the great imitator, and I guess that's what makes it so difficult to track down, because you've got to find a doctor that really has some experience with it, because you can be sidetracked pretty easily in trying to figure out a diagnosis of what you're ailing from, right?
Yeah, I've got a questionnaire in my book, How Can I Get Better? It's about page 30 or 40. We just published this in the medical literature. We validated the questionnaire in about 1,600 people. If people take the questionnaire in the book and they score higher than 63, they have a very high probability of having Lyme. Mm. So the key for this disease is figure out the score on the questionnaire, see if you have good and bad days where the symptoms are coming and going. You may have fatigue, joint pain, muscle pain, nerve pain, tingling, numbness, burning. But the hallmark of Lyme is that it comes and goes and the pain migrates around your body. So one day it's in one place, 2 days later it's somewhere else. And then you have associated memory concentration problems, word finding problems, walking into a room, not remembering why you walk in. You can't fall asleep. You keep waking up. You're anxious and depressed and you don't know why. If you have that constellation of symptoms of fatigue and aches that are migratory with memory issues with a high score, that tells you there's a high probability of having Lyme, and then you should go to your physician and get tested. And again, my new book, How Can I Get Better, explains all the tests to do, because if you just do the CDC testing of an ELISA followed by a Western blot, you may miss it because there are so many different strains of Lyme in the United States.
Okay, so you say go see your doctor right away. What else must we do and what must we not do regarding Lyme disease?
Well, I think one of the most important things at this point is prevention for people who are healthy. If you're enjoying the great outdoors, you can put permethrin spray on your clothes to kill the ticks. You take the clothes outside and spray them. You can find permethrin in most hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something from Avon Skin So Soft, IR3535, and picaridin sprays. These are sprays that will repel the ticks. So if you go outside, it's important to do tick checks, to use tick prevention. But the minute you get flu-like symptoms in the spring, summer, and fall, this thing can look like a virus. You really should have a high sense of going to your doctor and being checked. And we are working on new tests that are more sensitive for Lyme, but it's a couple of years out at this point. I think the most important thing is know that because it's spreading so quickly, if you get sick and you don't know why you have chronic fatigue and muscle and joint pain and memory issues, you should always put Lyme and associated co-infections on the top of the list. And my new book, again, explains how to make the diagnosis, all the different infections in the ticks, because many of my patients have babesia, a malaria-like organism. So if people listening have day sweats, night sweats, chills, flushing, air hunger, they can't catch their breath, or a cough they can't explain. Those are symptoms of babesia, which is like over 90% of my patients are presenting this malaria organism, and it's part of the reason they don't get better.
Well, Dr. Horowitz, you say that, first of all, you've got your test in your book, which gives you, a good idea that if you're suffering from something related to Lyme disease, but are there geographical hotspots like the Hudson Valley that if you happen to be in these areas, the odds are more, for or against you if you happen to be geographically located in the wrong areas?
Yes, I mean, the Northeast, the West Coast, there are parts of the Midwest, but the important thing is the CDC did a study a few years ago. There's been a 320% increase in the number of counties affected by Lyme in the last 20 years and a tenfold increase in cases. So people just need to know when you travel that it's still very likely, even if the area you're living in, which is a lower endemic area, people travel all the time and it's still, very, very probable. It's the most common vector-borne illness at this point in the United States.
Now, is there anything else that we can do relevant to our immune system, protecting ourselves? You suggested spraying our clothing with particular product that would resist, ticks. But is this also, if you're physically compromised and
right.
other issues, then you're going to be more susceptible, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, the key to this book, How Can I Get Better, is that I discovered 16 reasons why people remain chronically ill. So the analogy is like going into a doctor's office with 16 nails in your foot and the doctor doesn't find all the nails. You're going to still have pain. What we found is with the people that are chronically ill, who have fatigue, joint pain, memory issues, we found that it's not just Lyme. It's multiple other infections. There are environmental toxins that are getting into people that people have difficulty eliminating from the body. They may be on the wrong diet where they're eating allergic foods. They may have not enough sleep, mineral deficiencies. All of these things cause an inflammatory response in the body. And we now know that most chronic disease is due to inflammation. So really the key for this book is that if you can discover all the sources of inflammation, whether you suffer from Lyme or some other chronic diseases, this book may still be able to help you to get well.
Well, excellent. Well, in a field where the number of cases is growing exponentially around the world and answers remain elusive, Dr. Horowitz has treated over 12,000 patients and made extraordinary progress. His book is an excellent, excellent resource. Where can they go for more information, Dr. Horowitz?
The book is now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores, and I have a website, cangetbetter.com.
And, of course, you can check out, take the test yourself. See if you're a candidate. You're going to get a lot from this book, Why Can't I Get Better? Solving the Mystery of Lyme and Chronic Disease. Dr. Richard Horowitz on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Sodexo's annual Workplace Trends Report has been a reliable source for spotting crucial changes in the business world for more than 5 years. In 2017, the findings reveal a game-changing focus on individuality, connectivity, and adaptability in the workplace. Based on original research and interviews with more than 50 subject matter experts, the report features 10 important trends for business leaders to account for. Highlights include an increased appreciation of the new millennial generation of workers and how factors like workplace conditions and techno-literacy are key to helping businesses thrive in this new generation. Mark Bickford, CEO of Sodexo Corporate Services.
The political and economic landscape of our country is going through a period of significant change and uncertainty this year, leaving a challenge for businesses to stay on top of trends in their workforce. Sodexo's 2017 Global Workplace Trends Report will help businesses navigate 10 of the most pressing issues impacting the workplace and the workforce in the months to come.
For more findings and trends, visit SodexoInsights.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee.
If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
You one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home.
Bill Martinez live.
One step, arms wide open, his love is never let you go.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Always great to have you along with us for the ride here, especially with our next guest. Always good to be talking with Jimmy Sengenberger. He's president and founder of the Millennial Policy Center. Jimmy has run two nonpartisan nonprofits, the Liberty Day Institute and the Millennial Freedom Forum. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I really appreciate you coming on to give us a millennial's perspective on repeal and replace Donald Trump's administration's answer to Obamacare.
You know, it is a vibrant discussion that everybody's having, and it is just one of those issues that just doesn't seem to be going away, but maybe it will.
Well, it's a very complex one, and that's the reason for the discussion, because, I have, of course, and you're exactly right, Jimmy. I mean, this is probably one of the most talked about topics right now. They'll talk about one aspect and then forget about tort reform. If they're talking tort reform, then they forget. I mean, there's lots of parts and pieces to this situation. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, let's figure out how to pay for it and not do so on the backs of millennials, right?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get the millennials involved in another Ponzi scheme here if we can avoid it, all right?
We've got plenty of those. We don't need an additional government Ponzi scheme. I'll give you that.
Yes. So Jimmy, you're saying that as far as, you know, from a millennial's perspective, there's a lot riding here that's win-win for everybody. If we can get it right for the millennials, I think your proposition is if we get it right for the millennials, it'll be right for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we're talking about is sort of the next generation that's up and coming, that's starting families and so forth. But we've got a system in place that if we can just fix it for one generation, that would mean fixing it for all generations. It's you got to have a cross-generational attitude and approach to this, recognizing that we're all in this together because we all require health care. And, you know, the way that it affects one generation affects all generations in different ways, sure. For example, if you're 63 years old, you're not going to have the same health issues as a 26-year-old. But nevertheless, what you do for your health care and your health insurance will have effects either positively or negatively on the 26-year-old.
Yes. Jimmy, I think what people are failing to understand here, and maybe this is why it's a bit complex here, and I'm encouraging our legislators to do the same, to make sure that their objective is clear. Without a doubt, what the Democrats and Barack Obama wanted to do was to take us down the road to a single payer, to get us to a point to where we would throw up the white flag of surrender and say, this is too complex, I can't handle this anymore, you answer it for us, and they go, voila, it just so happens we've got the perfect answer, which is the one that they had all along in their back pocket and reserving it for us. It had little to do, I would say, with the delivery of excellent health care, which is representative of the free enterprise system. It was a controlling issue, and one that it seemed their interest was more about them getting credit and, in a sense, almost creating, not even almost, but creating a whole new entitlement avenue.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't disagree with you at all, although what I would suggest is that we have to be considering the mistakes of the past with the Obamacare law and what we decide moving forward. And one of the things that I would note is that the Millennial Policy Center just released last week a policy paper on the subject of health insurance where we talk about why Obamacare needs to be repealed, some of its adverse effects on millennials, and then also address some of the basic principles that any comprehensive reform measure must do in order to address the problems that are inherent in the system with or without Obamacare. You see, Obamacare just exacerbated a great many of the problems that were already in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if we repealed it, everything would just become hunky-dory. You'd still have additional things to do, which is why you need a replacement component.
Exactly. Well, Jimmy, I've told my kids for a long time, you know, the one thing you love about experience is that it defines preference. I'm saying, look, we had a great experiment here, an exceptional one, for the last 6 years with Obamacare. I think there's a lot to be learned from that. Are we willing to set aside any partisanship for the good of the United States of America, for all of us, millennials, all the generations involved here? Are we willing to set that aside and do something bold and courageous, which is, you know, let's find a way to get along to really answer this problem and move it in a positive, and I say a free market type of proposition, getting all those things that have been problematic, that we've experienced with Obamacare, and have the focus be the delivery of world-class health care. We've got the doctors, we've got the systems in which to do that. I just think that we've got to give them the freedom to be able to express this kind of world-class health care delivery system.
Well, you have to give everybody the freedom to be able to make their own decisions. We have to stop getting the government involved in the doctor-patient relationship. And that is one of the cruxes of the matter here when we talk about whether it's Obamacare or the system even before Obamacare, is we have this system of third-party payer, that it was a third-party payer system, and that's how it's been since the 1940s with World War II.
Right.
So we really need to be looking at how can we rebuild that patient-doctor connection and really get the government off of the backs of the American people, regardless of their generation. Now, when you talk about bipartisanship, unfortunately, I don't see this being a bipartisan effort in the traditional sense of Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do see are different factions within the Republican Party that are either pairing up on this or in some ways are dissenting on this, because there are a lot of warts in the proposal, the American Health Care Act. But there is also a lot in there that presents a good start, especially if you consider the holistic aspect of the three-phase solutions, phases 1 through 3, and how they play different roles in this reform proceeding.
Exactly. Well, I, you know, that doesn't bother me. I know it bothers a lot of people. They don't quite understand, but I think that there's some, again, things that were established with Obamacare. I mean, when Tom Price gets his hands on this deal, the Secretary of Health and Human Services is given an incredible amount of power and latitude here. So I think that's a great opportunity. The things that people want to have that they seem to be very focused on is being able to purchase across state lines. So that's and that can be solved in the third phase. But the first phase certainly is procedural in nature. And you've got to get the repeal out of the way. You've got to get as much of the new bill in process so then you can address the two others. And, you know, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be part of procedure and part of, you know, sometimes the ugly and hard part of legislation where, you know, the Republicans are doing it the old fashioned way, and that is doing it legislatively, not doing it with an activist judge.
Very true. And when we look at the issues involved here, I think we have to consider the cost aspect as being primary above all else. Is how can you make affordable health insurance? Because otherwise, you're just not going to have accessible health insurance. I'll tell you about my own personal story real quickly. And that is, first of all, I'm 26 years old, so I couldn't qualify for the so-called millennial mandate. But I'm without health insurance, so I don't have health insurance right now. Right. And that's largely because of the cost and the deductibles and all the different aspects associated with it. But also the case, my brother's 24. He doesn't have insurance despite the 26-year-old mandate, because when my dad switched on to a new plan in order to be a small business owner, he couldn't cover my brother, and my sister's only got coverage at almost 20 years old because she's at college and they have a good system there that she's able to buy into. Mm-hmm. My parents have their own plan, but they're not covering my brother and sister who are under 26 because it's just not affordable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up some good points here, and this is all, again, part and parcel of the problem with the healthcare system as it exists right now under the affordable, which we're finding out to be the Unaffordable Care Act. But it's what we're living with until the Republicans can get it together. I mean, it seems that repeal is not as problematic. It's the replacing issue. Jimmy, what are you looking for? Donald Trump says they're going to come up with a terrific health care program. And I say, okay, what does terrific look like?
Well, I'll tell you a few things, and these are available in our policy paper at millennialpolicycenter.org. And that includes health savings account expansions. And I'm talking about where you're able to actually pay for your premiums using money in a health savings account. Mm-hmm. We also need to be looking at association health plans so that if you're small business owners or you're a church with your community members and you want to pool together to purchase a health insurance plan for those in your group, you should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. We also need to be looking at really dealing with some of the regulations that are on the books. I mean, I'm a 26-year-old single male. I don't need pediatric coverage, yet it's required for any health insurance plan I get. But those are the kinds of things we got to be looking at, Bill.
Exactly. I'd also say, Jimmy, just sidebar between you and me, I would be much more enthused if the legislators, the ruling body, decided that they would come under the very legislation that they create. Why do they have something special? Why are they not subject to the same health care program that we the people are?
You know, that's a great point. If the government goes ahead and creates some sort of a system like Obamacare, they should be required to do it. And that's why I appreciate those elected officials in Congress. Like, for example, my Congressman Mike Kaufman here in Colorado, he's on Obamacare because he decided to go on what the people were going to be suffering through.
Well, he's my kind of legislator, and that's we need to have more of that, where everybody is participating, and then you see how things get fixed. It's a big difference when you are experiencing your own legislation. Jimmy Sengenberger, president, founder of the Millennial Policy Center. Jimmy, as always, good to have you with us. Appreciate the insight.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Appreciate the time.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better, my joints feel better, I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Water is the